Ephesians chapter 6 today. Ephesians 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Come to preaching time. And the Lord has impressed upon me this week to continue what we have been looking at the last few times. And what that means, church, is we need to get ready for preaching time, because the devil's not going to like it. He's going to interrupt us. He's going to find a reason to, whether again to pinch somebody and or to make a phone go off or to do something, get us distracted. He's going to try to interrupt us because he's real and he doesn't like this. He doesn't like preaching time. Preaching time is it's the power of God, amen, for us that are saved. And I ask you, please, Ephesians 6, as we look at this, would you just pray through this time? That not only we individually would have our hearts in tune and ready for what God has for us in His Word, but that the power of God would be in this place stirring. And maybe there's somebody in here that's not saved that needs to be saved today. Maybe there's somebody in here that's been holding on or resisting the will of God, and they just need to submit themselves to the Lord. Amen. Submit yourselves unto God, and then it goes on and says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And Ephesians chapter 6, and look at, if you would, in verse 11, please. We've been here a few times now the last few Sundays. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Again, that word wiles means trickery. It means that he lies in wait for you and me. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And what's the point of it all? Right here it is. And having done all, to stand. That we'd keep standing, right? That we'd keep fighting. That we'd stay in this thing. That the devil wouldn't pick us off. That he wouldn't knock us out. That we wouldn't fail or throw in the towel. Again, look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Lord, one more time, may you please, we come to you now and ask your help and blessing and power upon this preaching time. Would you bind Satan? Lord, cast him out of this place. And Lord, we not give any room for him today, that God, we'd see the Word of God and that it would make change in our hearts and lives today. Help us, please, to grow in this. In Jesus' name, amen. We've talked about this the last couple Sundays. We must look beyond the people. Oftentimes we face trouble, we face hardship, we have somebody against us, somebody speaks against us, or somebody attacks us in a way, or slanders us, or whatever the case is, and we must look beyond the people. We don't wrestle flesh and blood. We're not in a fight with a man over here and a man over here that have become in a disagreement. We're not fighting one another, but there's spiritual warfare going on behind the scenes. We must acknowledge that. You look at what's going on this week. Couldn't even pick up your cell phone without finding out all the things that are going on this week. I look at all the protesting yesterday. Now, I believe in protesting. I believe that we have a right to protest as Americans. We got one of you. Okay? Amen. It says the Constitution gives us the ability to protest. All right? But there's a problem when people take it and they begin chanting numbers that mean to kill. Literally, a video was taken in Martinsburg yesterday with a group that's trying to, whatever they were trying to do about Mr. Trump and all of that, or President Trump, excuse me. But they said 86-47. And if you don't know this, that's a new way of saying kill the president. That's what that means. That is not Christianity. That is not America, the America I grew up in. Amen. Listen now, and I'm for people having the right to protest, but I'm not for sin being done in the process with that. Amen. Come on now. That why is it this weekend for politically motivated murders took place? What was it? The Minnesota representative, her and her husband were gunned down in their home. Listen now. And then a senator from Minnesota, him and his wife were also shot at. I believe they were wounded, but they were not killed. Again, if we're focused on the people carrying out these acts, we begin to get hateful and bitter. That's not what God wants for you. That's not what God wants for me. That's contrary to the scripture. But yet, that's where this world is going. Why can't two people have a sensible, a logical debate and disagree, but part ways cordially? Why can't that happen? We have a country set up so that can happen. Why couldn't it be this politician and this politician? They can disagree with one another and they can have a real debate. You know, they did used to teach that in school, didn't they? Yeah. They can have a real debate and disagree with one another. Brother Williams and I disagree with one another sometimes, especially when he's rooting for a football team. Okay? It's nonsense. But I don't take up arms against, well, sometimes, I mean, it just depends. It depends if Ohio's winning or not, right? Okay, but listen, no, to be honest, though, it's not people. There is something else at work here. And what we're doing is we're getting angry with individual people instead of fighting the spiritual warfare that God's told us is going on. Do you think that the devil's not at work and these people chanting that they want to kill the president? You think he's not at work in that? Of course he is in work in that. When there's a division or two people that disagree in the church, the devil's not in part of that? Sure he is. He wants to split this place. He wants to do that. The real battle is spiritual. It's spiritual warfare. The first week we looked at the four satanic forces that we're up against. They're listed right here in verse 12. It says principalities, powers. It says the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we defined all those words. And we looked at those. And last week, we saw that Satan, yes, he can come against unbelievers. And yes, we must be saved so we have some protection there. Get saved. The Bible talks about the helmet of salvation in verse 17. But he also attacks believers. And we looked at the scriptural evidence of that when he came up against many. We looked at David and we looked at the high priest Joshua there and the minor prophet of Zechariah and many others. And God teaches us that we must use the Word of God when we face Satan. Again, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But today, I want to bring your focus on verse number 16. Look at verse 16, if you would. The Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench what? All the fiery darts of the wicked. Fiery darts. And today, God has given me a message, put a message in my heart on these fiery darts. What are those fiery darts? Folks, this is not a joke. I know sometimes you start speaking about spiritual warfare and sometimes people roll their eyes or they make light of it. It is not a joke. All this that's going on around the world, and we are supposed to pray for peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and yet there's wars and things going on. We're supposed to pray the peace of our land, and yet there's all these this sin and wickedness going on. There's great spiritual warfare. It's not a joke. Satan is real. His attacks are lethal. And so we must watch for these fiery darts. The fiery here, the word fiery means to kindle or be ignited. And darts, of course, darts literally means a missile or a something set with great momentum behind it at a target. And for example, an arrow. Okay, so in other words, a fiery arrow. I don't know about you, but I don't want a fiery arrow coming at me. All right, throughout history, archery has been a crucial part of warfare before gunpowder came on the scene. Archery was a big part of warfare. And what happens is, see, the enemy does not gain advantage for little attacks every once in a while. There's no advantage there. But to keep the attacks coming and to keep the heat on and the constant, then they can gain some advantage. Okay, some of you remember terms that were used in military like shock and awe and things like that, and bringing the heat on and all at once and as much as we can. And think about archery for a moment. Think about two opposing forces. And of course, if you were leading one of those opposing forces back in olden times, then you'd have the infantry to begin to advance towards the enemy. But while the infantry is advancing on the ground, you have hundreds and hundreds of archers behind them sending arrows over top of them at the enemy. Yes? Yes, we know this to be true. Many of you have studied these things before. All right, it was done very much so with the Chinese throughout much of history long, long ago. And the Romans used it very heavily, went into the medieval times and the Dark Ages there, and was used very heavily. And what would happen is those archers, hundreds and hundreds of archers, if not more, would be filled with dozens of arrows in their quiver. And they'd send those right over top that infantry, and they would keep them coming right up until the infantry got to where they were going. And then the swords came out and the archery stopped. So the attack was heavy on. And of course, an arrow flying at great speeds, you've got to be cautious on that and be careful. And even some of the shields back in the day were no match for some of these arrows flying through the air there, depending on the age of which this was done. And of course, the infantry starts to attack, but then the archers, they would advance a little bit and get a little bit closer, and then they would be more specific targets, taking out certain things as they got closer there. This is the act of warfare. Archery was so crucial that in the 13th century in England, the archery laws were actually passed, requiring men to be trained in archery between certain ages. They were so crucial that they wanted to train all their men. Of course, I already mentioned the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire, they used it on the ground, but they also used it in their navy, in their ships. Remember, many ships and many structures and shields and different things, or whatever it might be, was made of wood. And so this is where the fire comes in. And oftentimes, I read this week about how a fiery dart, there would oftentimes, right behind the point, right behind the arrow there, there'd be a little capsule full of flammable liquid that would be put on there. And upon when it hit its target, that capsule would break, causing an explosion of that as it was lit, and then the capsule would break and it would cause an explosion. Of course, many things being made of wood, the Romans were good at this, and they'd have archers on their ships attacking other ships, and not only does an arrow penetrate, but then it explodes that flammable liquid, and then it begins to ignite the target that it hit and watch it burn to the ground. Do you think this is no different in our spiritual warfare? God says, "Watch out for the fiery darts of the wicked." They send their arrows at us, the Satan and his forces, sending arrows at us, and they're on fire of hell. Listen now, we read last week how the tongue is set on fire of hell, is it not? James chapter 3. And when those arrows pierce, they continue to burn until they ignite you and your family. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world that is finding its way into the church, isn't it? There's a lot of things that are going on in this world that are finding their ways into our own families. That's those fiery darts of the devil. And God is bringing our attention to these. And we must take heed where the Lord is speaking. One way, one of those fiery darts the devil uses, I want you to go with me, please, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the book of the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 28, please. Ezekiel chapter 28, please. There's two passages in Scripture that give us the understanding of the devil before he fell, before he sinned. Of course, he was called Lucifer as the angel of heaven, that anointed cherub that God created. And there's two passages that teach us about him. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 teach us about him before his fall here. I want you to see in Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel comes right before Daniel. Ezekiel. All right, chapter 28. Now, Ezekiel's writing and God is using Ezekiel to prophesy and to write here against this man, the king of Tyre, and Sidon. The Tyre being a city along the coast of the Mediterranean there, north of Israel. And here a king is being written about, but we'll quickly see in the first couple of verses that it goes beyond a man on a throne to forces behind. We'll see that very clearly. King of Tyre being a prideful man in a wicked place. But look what the Bible says, Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus," or Tyre, "and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." And when has God ever said that about a man? Okay, look what he says next, verse 13. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Wait a minute. The king of Tyrus was in Eden? No. He's going beyond that, talking about the spiritual warfare that's going on behind him. Yeah. Who was in Eden? Of course, Adam was, Eve was, God was, and the serpent. And the serpent. He's talking to Satan here. He's talking to the spiritual warfare behind him. Of course, they could apply this to the wicked man that was on that throne, but it goes beyond that. Again, he says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art," verse 14, "thou art the anointed cherub." That literally means consecrated. He was made for a purpose. And cherub means to cover. It was an angel, a cherub being singular of cherubim. And they were built to protect. They were made, rather, to protect. It says here, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." Look at verse 18. "Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Excuse me. And so here, God explaining some things about Lucifer. Of course, the king of Tyrus was not in Eden. He's talking about Lucifer here. He's talking about the devil. He's talking about Satan here. And I want you to notice here specifically verse 17 and verse 18. And notice what God says again. He says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He was proud. Pride was that first sin. Pride is what caused the devil to fall. It says, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Now, if you look back in verse 12, the very end of that verse, it says that God made him, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. God made him that way. God created Lucifer. I believe, the Bible doesn't say this, but when we look at, there's three named angels in the Bible. There's Michael, there's Gabriel, and there's Lucifer. And we know that Lucifer, when he fell, took a one-third, the Bible says, of the stars of heaven. I believe that meaning that there'd be three archangels, and Lucifer being one of them, now called Satan, of course. He's full of wisdom, it said. But in verse 17, he's corrupted that wisdom. He's corrupted it. Look at verse 18. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. Now, the word defiled, what does that mean? What's the word defiled mean? It literally means to bore into, to wound, or to profane. Now think about that. He's bored into the wisdom that God created. Sanctuaries here mean, it means a consecrated thing or place. God made him the anointed cherub. God made him consecrated for a purpose. He set him aside. This piano right here is consecrated for a purpose. We don't let the nightclub down the street borrow it. So there's a bunch of drinking and dancing and stuff going on around it. No, it's consecrated for a purpose. It's for God's music. Amen. God made Lucifer to be for a purpose, consecrated, set aside for a purpose. But we know that the devil, listen here, the devil is not like God. He's not a creator. What is he? He's a manipulator. Do you see that God created him full of wisdom? And the Bible says he corrupted that wisdom. In verse 17 it says that. In verse 18 he's defiled the sanctuaries. A consecrated place, he's defiled it. I believe that would be speaking of himself as a holy being that he's defiled. He's bore a hole into it. He's wounded it. He has profaned it. That's what that word means. He's not a creator, but he is a manipulator. Many of us would recognize that. We would understand that. That's one of these. That is a lot of the fiery darts that we are up against is the devil manipulating what God has created. Now we could look at examples of that, couldn't we? Take the Word of God, for example. The Bible. Has it not been manipulated? It certainly has. It certainly has. The Bible says in Psalm 12, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. It says in Psalm 18, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried or put to the test. Proverbs 30 says, every word of God is pure. Peter himself, 2 Peter in chapter 1, he's talking about the voice of the Father from the Mount of Transfiguration that he heard. He heard it spoken. And he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And he's talking about the Word of God. Yet Satan has brought great doubt to the Bible. He's brought great doubt to the Bible. He said, Eve, the very first thing he said to Eve, has God said? Right? Since the 16th century, I've mentioned this a few times, and I believe God wants it to be said again. Since the 16th century, there have been 900 English versions of the Bible. 900. So I began to just look into that a little bit and trying to understand that a bit. Of course, the King James is for the purpose is to be word for word translation. And that was the purpose behind it. It was said that. And other versions, a thought for thought. Now, man's thoughts are not God's thoughts. We know that. And the devil is beginning to warp the Word of God. To specifically give illustration of this, I was just reading this week. Of course, there's multitudes of changes amongst different versions. Brother Shank, I couldn't believe this. There are 15 complete verses omitted in the NIV and the ESV. 15 complete verses omitted. And I was reading about them and I looked them up. This verse right here, Matthew 17:21 says this. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. What is that? What's happening right there? That's when the disciples were trying to cast out demons. Remember that? And Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute. This kind right here, you got to pray and you got to fast if you're gonna have power to cast them out. That verse right there has been omitted out of two different versions that I just read. Why is that? You think this is not spiritual warfare? Why wouldn't the devil take a verse out, listen now, that is powerful against him? Why wouldn't he do that? How about another one? Mark 9:44 and 46 say the same thing. It says, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus, we're talking about hell. Those two verses are completely gone in the NIV and the ESV. Now, there's 900 versions, obviously. I just picked two of them and just find out that there's 15 verses. There are multitudes of verses. Another one where Philip was talking to the eunuch about being baptized. Remember, eunuch was in the chariot and they stopped to talk. He was reading in Isaiah and the eunuch said, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? The verse that says, when Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. That right there is completely omitted. So what that means is that Philip says, well, let's get baptized, here's water, without believing. And believing is the key. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Amen. Think the devil's not in this thing? Look if you would, in Ezekiel 28 here. Here's where we are. Look at verse 13. Could you look at verse 13, please? Notice the end of the verse. There's a colon there, and then it says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. What does that mean? Tabrets and pipes. You know what those are? Those are musical instruments. A tabret would have been something similar to a tambourine. The pipes in there, whether it's talking about his vocal cords, or I believe it literally had pipes of music built into him. He could create music or play music, if you would. He is very skilled in the area of music, is he not? Very skilled. Now, God created music, and he loves music. The Bible says God joys over us with singing, Zechariah chapter 3. And yet Satan has taken music and manipulated it to take the glory away from God, to put it on everything else. That's why God had to give us a new song in Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40 says we get saved, God gives us a new song in our heart. Praise the Lord for it. There's so many things we could discuss. Here's a big one. Here's one, marriage. Has God not created and instituted marriage? Yes, he did. Okay, in Genesis chapter 1, he says he created man in his own image, and he said male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and he said be fruitful and multiply, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. But the devil has manipulated that, has he not? It was Genesis 19 that we find out here's a whole city filled with homosexuality. And God had to destroy it with fire. Because the devil had manipulated his beautiful institution of marriage. Marriage certainly is beautiful. We could go on in the scripture in Leviticus 18. It gives us a direct command that it's an abomination for a man to lie with a man. It says that. Leviticus 18. 1 Kings 14, when Jeroboam, when this kingdom split, and now we got two kingdoms, and you got Israel in the north, and you got Judah in the south, and Jeroboam took the ones to the north, right? The 10 tribes of the north. And it says there was sodomites in the land in those days. And the scripture literally says, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Just this week, I read a news article, and I want to bring this to your attention here. It was a questionnaire suggesting sexuality affecting success. Questionnaire suggests sexuality affects success. Let me read this to you. It says, in a class assignment as part of a college course offered to high school students in Miami, Dade County, students were asked, is it possible that being straight is just a phase you may grow out of? The class, Preparing for Student Success, is reportedly designed to help students develop academic goals and come up with strategies to succeed in college. This questionnaire they were given also asked, what do you think caused your heterosexuality? And considering the menace of hunger and overpopulation, could the human race survive if everyone were straight like yourself? That was a questionnaire given to high school students in the state of Florida here just this year. That is indoctrination, folks. That's what that is. It is not lawful in the state of Florida to teach that in the classroom, yet they bring it in guise in a form of a questionnaire asking questions to high school students in those forms right there. This was an article. It was brought to light, and it is apparently, according to the governor, is being changed. Now, when you start talking about, when we start preaching the truth that of against sin, all of a sudden, folks get up in arms and say, wait a minute, doesn't God love everybody? Yes, He loves everybody. We have the scripture for that, do we not? For God so loved the world. That there's nothing, according to Romans chapter 8, nothing that can separate you and me from the love of God. There's nothing that can separate us from. But God says no to sin, and He loves the sinner. Yes. And homosexuality is a sin, just like lying and stealing and everything else. Amen. There's a lot of them. Amen. Listen now. And what happens is the devil manipulates a beautiful creation like marriage, like a union between a husband and a wife. Amen. And that goes on from there. We see these things. How about, and you know what happens here, church family? I understand this. It affects every single one of us. There, I would dare say that in this room right here, there is likely very few families that have not been impacted by this in some way, one form or another. Amen. Why? Because the devil is doing his work and he's doing it well. Now, we love people, and God loves people. And let me just clear this up in case someone, these type of sermons end up on the internet, don't they? Cutting pieces and all kinds of stuff. Listen now. Let me say this very clearly. Listen now. Folks of that lifestyle are loved here, and they are welcome here. Because they're sinners just like you and me. And all of us have sin in our life that needs to be pointed out by the Word of God for us to get right. And that's a sin just like all the others. But it is sin. And God clearly says it. He clearly says it. How about this idea of transgenderism that's going on now? It's moved beyond just homosexuality. Listen now, it's going to transgender. Well, I'm not homosexual. I'm just a woman now. Wait a minute. Is that not manipulation of a young mind? I don't know about you folks, and they make all these excuses and everything else. I never once, as a boy, thought about being a girl. Never once. You know what? I got three boys, and never once have they come to me and asked me about being a girl. And you know what? If they did, because of the warped mentality of all the world, and every single form of entertainment now has it in there. You know what? If they did come to me and say that, you know what I'd say? That's silly. We're not going to talk about that. And we move on from it. Amen. And I might even share the Word of God where it says it's a sin, it's an abomination to the Lord, and teach them truth. Amen. 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 Listen, we're in the month of June, and they've taken a month away from us to call it Pride Month, and they're marching everywhere, and it's still sin. Still sin. Now, if you want to take that and make it political and everything else, you do what you do, but I'm going to preach truth. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach truth. It's still sin. Transgenderism, is it not? Deuteronomy 22 says that if a man dresses like a woman, it's abomination. Does it not say that? Doesn't it say if a woman dresses like a man, it's abomination? It says that. Amen. We don't hate people. We love people. But we still got to preach against sin. Still got to preach against it. Salvation's another one that's been manipulated. Well, you can get saved if you just get baptized. No, that's not what the Bible says. Salvation's like my wedding ring. It's a picture. And it goes on. I'm married and I'm still married if I don't have my wedding ring on. But I that's Marie's right there. She says, you're mine and everybody knows it right there, okay? It's identification with her, right? That's what baptism is with salvation. Amen. We're saved by faith, not by works. You don't come to this church and get saved like that just by coming to church. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for you and ask Him to save you. Amen. Amen. Now, let's get on with the message now. The spiritual warfare, and what do we do? What do we do? Now, for sake of time, I'm just going to read the scripture to you. But back in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, God's given us a tool to quench these fiery darts. Are we going to use it? He's trying to take us out. Listen now. Brother Ecker, I appreciate you. I think that we can rightly say, like the Bible says, you're an aged man. You're a senior saint. I praise God for that. Praise the Lord. But the devil wants you just like he wants the youngest in here. Amen. And he wants the ladies, and he wants the men, he wants the children, and he certainly wants you teenagers. The Bible says, listen now, teenagers can turn this world upside down if they get on fire for God. They can do that, but the devil doesn't want you to do that. So what's he doing? He's dangling everything in front of you, shooting every dart he can at you, trying to get you. That's what he's doing. Okay, the shield of faith. Here it is. The shield in the Roman days was a large shield. It was literally the size of a man in the shape of a door. And they could lock those shields together. I didn't bring any pictures today. I probably should have. They could lock those shields together and literally create a wall. Then the men behind them could lift the shield and lay it over top their heads and create a wall like this with a roof to it. And they could defend themselves against the arrows, especially the fiery darts. That was the idea of the shield of faith. And what Paul is, through the Holy Spirit, is teaching here is that the darts are still coming. They're still coming. The fiery darts are coming. And we've got to quench those fiery darts. To quench means to extinguish. That's what it means. All right? So how do we make this practical? Brother Mann, how do we make this practical? Where do we go from here? We've been given a shield of faith, and we've got to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, how do we make this practical? Three things. I'm going to give them to you real quick. Preach them, and we'll be done. All right? Believe God's word. Beware of manipulation and begin quenching the fiery darts. You say, how does that make sense? The shield of faith. Brother Rusty, I believe that salvation, because of what God said, is by faith. Amen. I believe that. God said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what He says. So I take that shield of faith. Listen now, I'm just going to pretend for a second that these two men are my family. Praise God, they're not. Amen. But I'm just going to pretend, all right? So what do? Is I take the shield of faith, and I come in front of my family, and I hold it like this. And I say salvation is by faith. It's grace through faith. God gives the grace when we believe. Amen. And we get saved by that. Listen now. And I hold that shield up and I say, it doesn't matter. I know somebody over here said, well, they got baptized back in whatever time and that's when they, all this. And this person's been in church their whole life, so they must be saved. No, that's not what the Bible says. Listen now, hold the shield of faith. This is, and I teach my family while I'm holding the shield of faith. And I'm holding up, and it's the size of the door, and all those darts are coming along trying to get my children. Can you believe that? Get my children. All right? And they're trying to get my family over here, and I'm holding the shield of faith, and I'm teaching them the truth of God's Word. I believe God's Word. Now, wait a minute. What about all this stuff we're talking about? So homosexuality and transgenderism, it's everywhere. You can't even watch a simple children's movie without it being plugged in there somewhere. Yes. Amen now. Listen now. And we letting our children sit in front of the television for hours just soaking that stuff in. You know what they need? They need a daddy on Father's Day, a daddy to hold up the shield of faith and say, boy, listen now, I know what they just said. Listen, I'm not here. I'm not trying to tell you to take every form of entertainment out. Listen, we need some entertainment, and it's okay. It's fine. Listen, on some things. But you're going to be in this world. He didn't say be a hermit and go down in the ground and hide from everything. He said you're of me in this world. And what we have to do is we have to hold that shield of faith and teach. I know they just said, listen, I know you just saw walking down the street. Listen. We were out to eat last night, and on the way home, saw two men coming out of a grocery store together. And it was obvious. What do? You hold up the shield of faith and say, God says that's wrong, and that's not for us. That's the shield of faith right there. God says that's wrong, and that's not for us. And you protect your family. You protect your family. You believe God's word. You beware of the manipulation. You see it. You keep your eyes open. Walk circumspectly, the Bible says. Because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Doesn't the Bible say that? Ephesians chapter 5? Yes, it says that. And we hold up the shield of faith. Right? Brother Darrell, you and me, we've got a big job to do, buddy, protecting our families. We got a big job to do. Protecting our families with the shield of faith. This is what I believe, so this is where I stand. And I'm not wavering from that. Because the Bible is what I stand on, not my own opinion. And not grandma's and grandpa's opinion, but God's opinion. God's word, amen. And that's what I stand on, and that's the shield of faith that I'm holding. And remember, it's a big, large shield, because God's given it to us. And faith, listen now, we need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, according to Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. And we hold that shield of faith. When we believe God's word and we're watching for those darts and we're using it, amen, we're using it, we can begin to quench the fiery darts that are aimed right at your little babies, that are aimed right at you. Amen. It means when we pick up our cell phone and there's something on there that we ought not to be looking at, wait a minute, that's wrong. I'm going to have character and shut that off. And if I'm having trouble shutting it off, I'm going to go to my wife and say, I just saw this and I'm having some trouble with it. Will you help me? Well, I couldn't do that. Yeah, because we're so full of pride and we're not believing God's word. Husband and wife are a team. They ought to work together, should they not? Amen. Protect one another. Amen. So when a wife and has some new guy come into the workplace and he's getting a little silly and a little flirtatious, wait a minute, shield of faith. Wait a minute, the Bible, wait a minute, are we allowed to do that? Are we doing all that? No, wait a minute, what's the Bible say? And maybe we need to make a change. Maybe we need to go in together and talk to the manager and make a change. Why? Because we're going to protect the fiery darts or protect our family from the fiery darts of the wicked. Why? Because the Bible's not for that. Amen. Not for husbands and wives going around everywhere. Listen now, you understand what I'm saying this morning. What's the Bible say? Stand on it. Believe God's word. There's fiery darts, and they're coming after you. Listen, once that dart penetrates, it will continue to burn until it ignites the object in which it's pierced. And we know the sin that's going on in our families, whether it's immediate whether it's extended or wherever it is, because some darts have started to penetrate. And it's time for us to pick up the shield of faith, teach and protect, and get up off our rear ends and turn the television off when it needs to be turned off. Amen. It's not just the television. It's all right here on the in the palm of your hand now. Amen. Sometimes we got to listen now. I know we live in the days of cell phones. But you're giving access to everything in this world has to offer. Listen now. Everything this world has to offer to a child that is not mature enough to figure out this sock matches this sock. I'm being serious here for a moment. And we're given access to all the devil has to offer. It's time we hold the shield of faith up and start teaching and protecting. Amen. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Let's bow together. Lord, help us, please, this morning. Lord, help us, please, this morning. The devil is real and he wants to take us out. God, we know that. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible clearly says that. I pray you'd help us, please, to watch for these fiery darts. Help us today, please, to watch for these fiery darts. Lord, the spiritual warfare all around us. And I pray that we would pick up that shield of faith, that we'd get in the Word of God, we'd believe it, we'd know what we believe, and we'd teach our families, and we would handle issues as they come up and deal with things as they come up. Lord, help us, please. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to protect our families. I know that, Lord, there's likely one in here that's not saved this morning. And God, I pray that they not leave here thinking that just because they came to church, they can be saved. Just because that they're a good person, they can be saved. The Bible's so clear about this thing that you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sin and that He rose again. And Lord, that He can save us. And I pray that you'd help us to see what the Bible says. Lord, maybe there's someone in here today that needs to deal with another issue. And I pray that they come get strength at the altar as they pray and ask God for help. And maybe there's another need this morning. I pray that you do your perfect work and help us this morning, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.